Bring the ship to battle stations, Lieutenant. Campbell pushed away the extraneous thoughts that had been clouding his mind. Now it was time to do what he'd come to do. And get me weapons control. There was a brief pause, no more than a second or two, and the bridge was bathed in a reddish light from the battle station lamps. Another 3 or 4 seconds then.
Commander Lincoln here, sir.
All the weapons ready to go, Commander. Campbell skipped the pleasantries. He and Lincoln had served together for 2 years, and they worked together like a finely tuned machine.
Yes, sir.
Lincoln's response was crisp and immediate.
The missiles are fully fueled and ready for launch, and the warheads are cleared and ready.
Campbell could see an updated weapon status display appear on his personal screen.
Awaiting your final order to arm them, Captain.
Campbell took one more look at the gauzy blue image of Earth floating on the display, smaller than it had been a moment before when it occupied the entire screen, but just as beautiful.
You may arm your weapons, Commander.
Campbell closed his eyes for an instant, pondering the gravity of what he was about to do. The 125-megaton penetrator warheads were nothing special in terms of ship combat. In the vacuum of space, without atmosphere to carry heat and shockwaves, vessels targeted each other with enormously powerful missiles. Warheads yielding 500 megatons or more were commonplace. But against a ground target, 125 megatons was an enormous weapon, even an inefficient one. Cities were better targeted by dispersed spreads of smaller weapons, which distributed the destructive force far more effectively. Unless you were trying to dig out and destroy a heavily fortified subterranean target, in which case 5 or 6 of the big warheads were likely to do the job. Campbell was about to launch 60 of them, and in doing so, become the first commander to bombard an Earth target since the end of the Unification Wars. He sighed, thinking of the significance of the act, the crushing responsibility of what he was about to do. His actions could lead to war. They could provoke reprisals against the Confederation. The attack was targeted at a rogue base, but there was no way to contain the effects of the devastation. Innocents in the area would die, and fallout and radiation would affect residents hundreds of miles from Ground Zero. He was destroying an enemy installation, one that would cause immeasurable harm if it was left functional. But he was also killing men, women, and children who were totally uninvolved, probably thousands of them, as surely as if he stood in front of them and shot them with his sidearm. But none of that mattered. He had his orders, and duty was first to Duncan Campbell. Another factor he suspected had played a role in his appointment as mission commander.
You may arm your weapons, Commander.
Campbell's voice was eerily calm.
And prepare to launch.
What the hell is that?
The shaggy old ranch hand pointed toward the sky. His companions almost ignored him, all but one. The old man was a little crazy, and no one took him very seriously. No one except Gus Hart, who'd been friends with grizzled Chuck Trexler since he'd been an unpopular kid befriended by the bizarre old cowhand. Trexler had been ancient even then, at least to Hart's recollection, but the two had developed a strong friendship, one that endured to the present day.
What the fuck?
Hart was staring now too, his mouth open in shock. The rest of the group looked up immediately. Hart was the informal leader of the ranch's cog workers, and everyone paid attention to whatever he did.
Those aircraft of some kind?
Jip Tompkins was the first to look after Hart and Trexler. His voice was a little shaky, nervous. You didn't see things like this every day in the ranch lands of Dakota.
They're missiles.
Hart's voice was deadpan, his eyes locked on the long white trails in the sky.